Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the privilege to come into your presence, to feed upon your holy written word, to study your word together. We pray that we are not just hearers of the word only, but we are doers and recipients of all that you have in your word for us. We thank you for everyone present here and everyone that listens to this message as well. We pray that your hand rest upon us, O God. I receive words, I receive utterance in the Spirit. And in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for a blessed time together. Amen. Amen. Again, thank you for being here. It's awesome. Glory to God. So, last week we did a study on covenant, and we'll continue along those lines this morning as well. So let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 to 8. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Genesis 15, verse 1 to 8. Says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. But Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted to him for righteousness. Hallelujah. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? And then we continue reading down. He said, and he said to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he brought all these things to him and cut them into two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. Now, when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and behold, horror and darkness came upon him. And great darkness fell upon him. And then he said to Abraham, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. Abraham asked the question, how can I know that I'll inherit this land? I go childless. I'm getting old. How can I know that I will bear children and I'll also inherit this land? God wants us to go from a point of just believing to knowing. And last week we looked at the process by which Abraham got to the place of knowing. Abraham did cut covenant in his days and his times. So when God said to him, bring all those animals, he knew exactly the implication of what was being discussed or what God was talking about. And in the New Testament, a similar thing is repeated about this account in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 to 16. Hebrews chapter 6. How do we go from a point of just believing, or how do we get to the point where we know? Sometimes maybe we offer prayers or we say prayers to God, but we do not know for sure. How can we get to the point of knowing? Hallelujah. So Hebrews chapter 6 verse 17 says that that's God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things by which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. God was determined to show Abraham that what he has said will come to pass. And so he confirmed it by an oath or by a covenant that by two immutable things by which it was impossible for God to lie. The Bible says that God is not a man that he should lie. God wanted Abraham to be sure that what he has said will come to pass. So he confirmed it by a covenant. He confirmed it by an oath. Not only the promise, but by a covenant. And Abraham knew exactly what God was talking about. He knew exactly what God was referencing. When he cut those animals and fire and the glory of God passed through those animals, that Abraham became fully persuaded that what God has said will come to pass. In the beginning, God created Adam and Eve. He created everything perfectly. Everything was good. But Adam and Eve sinned against God. And they were separated from God. And so throughout the whole Old Covenant or Old Testament, God kept saying that I'm sending my son. I'm going to send someone that is going to bruise the head of the serpent. I'm going to make a new covenant with my people. You see, for you to understand the Bible, you have to see it from a covenant standpoint. The Bible is made up of two covenants, the old and the new covenant. And this covenant that God made with Abraham was to persuade Abraham that, number one, what he has said will come to pass. What he has said, he was able to perform. Only willing more abundantly to show to the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, he confirmed it. Once the fire went through those animals, Abraham, from that point on, was fully persuaded that what God has said will come to pass. And part of the promise was that he would take care of them spiritually. He took care of them spiritually. Part of the covenant was that he would take care of their bodies. Part of the covenant was that he would take care of their needs, of their financial life. Part of the covenant was also the promise of the fact that Jesus Christ will come and redeem man back to himself and restore man back to the way God created him to be in the beginning. Hallelujah. And so God, when he told that word to Abraham, as far as he was concerned, the issue was settled. As far as he was concerned, God was able to perform what he had said he would perform. In the covenant, when they did that, there was an exchange. The weaker one assumed the strength of the one who was bigger. Always, when they entered into a covenant, it was between one family or parties where there was a benefit or there was an exchange on both sides. So God was saying to Abraham, from now on, your enemies will be my enemies. I will take care of you. I will fight your battles. I give you all that belongs to me. And Abraham, in turn as well, made that exchange and said, from today onward, I give myself fully to you. The Bible says that he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. When he believed God, God said that that was enough ground for us to go on in this covenant relationship. So God, at that point, God has given to Abraham everything that he has. All his resources, all his power, all his ability, the promise to protect him, the promise to be blessing and through him be a blessing, God said at that point, everything that is mine is yours. And Abraham in turn also said, everything that is mine is yours. I believe you, I give myself totally to you in covenant. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so from that point on, he was fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. We see the descendants of Abraham operating throughout the Bible under the covenant. Imagine when the people of Israel sinned against God, and God said, Moses, get out of the way. Let me destroy these people. Moses said, no, don't destroy them. Covenant. He understood the covenant. He stood on that covenant. He said, God, you are the one that brought these people from the land of Egypt. All the nations have heard of the great wonders that you did. If you are going to destroy them, destroy me first. No, don't destroy them. And he pled his case, and the people were spared. Standing on that covenant, Abraham as well, when God came and said, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, I cannot do this without talking to my covenant partner. Think about it. And so God came, he said, Abraham said, if there are 50 people, would you destroy it? He kept negotiating all the way down, and God said, if I can find 10 people on there in the land, I won't destroy it. Such was the power of that covenant. And the people of old understood exactly what they were. And even then, when God went to Sodom and Gomorrah, he took the righteous person, people out, Lot and his family. He took them out because of the covenant that he had with Abraham. Very important that we understand what God says, that when he says something, it is backed by himself. It is backed by his power. It is backed by his ability, and it comes to pass. Hallelujah. How does this relate to us? So in Genesis chapter 17 as well, let's go to Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 to 7. Genesis chapter 17, 1 to 7. Thank you, Lord. So on the basis of that, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I am Almighty God. Thank God, he is Almighty God. He is the all-sufficient one. He is the El Shaddai. And said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face and said, God talked with him saying, as for me, behold, my covenant, he's re-emphasizing again, is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abraham, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I'll make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Notice, he said, I will be a God to you and your descendants after you. I will be your source. I will be your father. I will be the one that will take care of you. I will be a God to you, not only to you, but to you and your descendants in their generation. So important. So this covenant, how does it apply to us today? How does it apply to us in the now, in our daily lives, in as we go about doing our duties? How does this, what is something that God said to Abraham several thousand years ago, apply to me now? How does it apply to me today? Hallelujah. Notice the fact that he said, I'll be a God to you and your descendants, to you and your descendants after you in their generations. Abraham was a symbol of blessing. So Galatians chapter 3. Let's see how this relates to us. Galatians 3:13 to 14. Thank you, Lord Jesus. See, when they made the covenant, they pronounced the blessings and they pronounced the curses. In the Abrahamic covenant, there was the blessings and then there was the curses. But now, this new covenant that has been made is between Jesus Christ and the Father himself, of which we are beneficiaries of that covenant. Galatians 3:13 says that Christ, the anointed one, the Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Christ has redeemed you and I, if you are a Christian, from the curse of the law. If you read Deuteronomy chapter 28, it talks about all the blessings. Then it talks about all the curses. But here, how does this relate to us? It says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, or might come upon us who were not part of the original covenant that God made with Abraham. When Jesus hung on the cross, there was a divine exchange. He took the curse of humanity. He took the sins of humanity. He took the sicknesses of humanity. For our sake, he became poor. He took the poverty of humanity. And he was made a curse for us, that we might be experience the blessing of Abraham. There was a divine exchange whereby which we could come into the covenant. And the Bible said that the promise, the covenant, was not just made to seed. But it was made to one seed, which is no other but Jesus Christ himself. So when God was making that covenant with Abraham, it applied to the seed that was coming, the seed of David, that came and was made a curse for us, and then took back the blessing that Adam and Eve lost in the garden. And now that blessing as well, we as Gentiles, or we were not Israelites by birth, can now be part of that blessing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Christ was made a curse for us. He bore the curse for us, that we might be made partakers of the blessing of Abraham. The blessing that he told him, saying that in you I will bless you, and in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. You see, when God thinks, he always thinks nations. He always thinks people, the whole earth, people, nations. So he said, in you shall all nations be blessed. He told Abraham, in you shall all nations be blessed. Jesus, before he left, said, go ye into all the nations. He's taking the blessing to go into all nations. Take the blessing that I blessed Adam and Eve with. In the beginning, he said, be blessed, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Fill up the earth. Be a blessing to it. They lost it. But thanks be unto God, in Christ Jesus, we have come to God, have become partakers of that new covenant. There has been an exchange. And so we are not partakers of the curse. But thanks be to God that the blessing has come upon us, that through us as well will be a blessing to nations. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon us, that we might receive the same promise, the promise of the Spirit, the promise that he made to Abraham, saying that I will multiply you, you will be fruitful, you will be a blessing. That same blessing has come upon us. Hallelujah. When we were outside in the world, the Bible said that we were enemies. We were outside the commonwealth or the covenant of Israel. But in Christ Jesus, because of that exchange, now glory to God, we are part of the blessing of Abraham. When Jesus Christ ministered, he ministered saying, I'm here to undo the curse. And then he finalized it on the cross when he went. The Bible said that for this purpose was the Son of God revealed, that he might destroy the works of the enemy and deliver us who all our lifetime were subject to bondage or to the curse or to death. So thank God. So let's see a picture of this covenant in action in the old covenant. God, 1 Samuel chapter 18 from verse 1 to 3. Glory to God. I'm getting excited. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 Samuel chapter 18, 1 to 3. That's an illustration of a covenant in action. Now, when he had finished, this is Jonathan and David. Now, when he has finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off his robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. From then on, they had entered into a covenant. So let's see the effect of this covenant in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. Covenant love in action. 2 Samuel 9, verse 1. Now David said, "Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Several years after they entered into that covenant, David, with covenant love, is saying, "Is there anybody of Saul's descendant that I can show kindness to?" That is how God thinks. Then that is how David was thinking as well. Who is there of the descendant of Saul that I can show covenant love to? We have bound ourselves in covenant. We have said, "I will take care of your descendant. I will take care of your families." We have said that we are going to take care of each other in covenant. Who is there of Saul's descendant that I can do this for? That is God's attitude toward us. Who is there? We are now believers who are now joint heirs with Christ. We have inherited what the Lord Jesus Christ inherited. God is ever looking. The Bible says he looks to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for somebody to show his loving kindness to. David is doing the same thing here. Mephibosheth was laid in his feet. He lived in Lodibar. Lodibar means nothing. There is nothing there. There is no pasture. Those were the place for the outcast. Sometimes you may feel like that. You are outcast. Nobody cares about me. Nobody thinks about me. I'm at the bottom. I am low. I'm zero. But no, God says that I'm looking to show covenant kindness to, covenant love to. This person, Mephibosheth, he was at the bottom. And if he had known, I'm sure if he had known about the agreement or the covenant that had been made, he would have come to David a long time ago, but he didn't. But David said, "Who is there of the house of Saul that I can show kindness to?" And so he goes and picks this lame person, this person that is destitute, cast down. They put him at a place where there is no pasture. They put him at a place where there is nothing. Where is he? When he came, he says, "What a worthless fellow like me. How can you be even show kindness to you?" But David was thinking in terms of the covenant. He said, "Everything that belongs to the house of Saul, give it to this town. And not only give it to this person, but this person will sit at my table from now on and feast at my table. Thanks be to God." It reminds me of Psalm 23. He says, "He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies." That table is full of his goodness. He invites us to come and partake of his goodness. We may be surrounded by enemies. We may be surrounded by so many circumstances. We may be surrounded by so many things. But in the midst of it all, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I do not fear any evil, because I know that he is with me. His rod and his staff, they will comfort me. And he prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. And he invites me to come and feast. He invites us to come and fellowship. He invites us to come and worship. He invites us to come and plant together. In the midst of whatever may be going on, thanks be to God, there is a table. Hallelujah. Take your eyes off of the enemies and keep your eyes on the table. Hallelujah. That table is full of his goodness. That table is full of his bread. That table is full of his love that he eager to pour upon you. Hallelujah. Eager to pour upon you his covenant love. That covenant love is a covenant that drove him to send his best gift. For God so loved the world, he wanted his family back so desperately. He so loves the world that is full of eager yearning to restore that blessing and to restore what was lost. He sent his son back that we can be brought back into fellowship with him and walk with him. Mephibosheth is out there. He's thinking nobody cares about me. How many times have you said that? He's thinking no one is interested in my case. But David was. And you as well. He's interested in you. Think about it. He loved us first. The Bible says that he loved us first. That covenant love is what drove God to send his son. That covenant love is driving David here. And he said, everything that belongs to him, give him the best in the land. Give him the best in the land. Everything that belongs to Saul and Jonathan, this time by should not be living in a land of barrenness and in a land of nothingness. I'm going to take him from the dunghill and set him with the princes, even with the princes of my people. Hallelujah. You may be listening today, right now, and say, nobody thinks, nobody cares, but God cares. He loves you and is interested in your case. And he wants to be part of whatever you are going through and turn the circumstances around for his glory. Hallelujah. Covenant love. Covenant love. Covenant love. God. And then we in turn, as part of the covenant, decide that God, thank you for sending your best. I give you now my best. Take my life and do something with it. Take my life and glorify yourself through it. Take my life. I will live and serve you all the days of my life. So it gets interesting. He's seeking to bless you. And you are seeking to also be a part of what he's doing in the earth and fulfilling his dream of getting his family back. There is that exchange that we have to be conscious of. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, in Luke chapter 13, verse 16 as well, we see Jesus also thinking in those terms. Luke 13, 16. He says, so ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound of it, has bound, think of it, for 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day. If you start reading from verse 12, it says, when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which men ought to work, therefore come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath. Then the Lord answered him and said, hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, that's covenant language, being a daughter of Abraham, she's not supposed to be bound. She's not supposed to be sick, because the healing was part of that covenant. Being a daughter of Abraham, why should she not be healed or delivered? See, those Pharisees were more concerned about the Sabbath than helping people. And if they were interested in making a well, they could have done it any other day of the week. They didn't do anything about it. But Jesus comes on the scene and saying, this daughter, this one being a daughter of Abraham, he's thinking in terms of the covenant. This one being a daughter of Abraham is not supposed to be bound. Doesn't matter the day. She's supposed to be loose. She's supposed to walk like everybody else. She's supposed to enjoy the health that is part of that covenant. Doesn't she have to be loose? You can apply that to yourself as well. You being a son or a daughter of that covenant, are you not supposed to be free now? Are you not supposed to walk in the liberty that has been purchased for you? Galatians 5:1 says that we should stand fast in the liberty that has been purchased for us, in the freedom that has been purchased for us. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Sickness, that infirmity was part of the curse. That was part of that bondage was part of the curse. But thanks be unto God, you have been redeemed from the curse. You are not supposed to be bound anymore. You are supposed to be loosed by the power of God and walk in the fullness of the redemption that has been purchased for you. On the cross, the Bible said that himself took our infirmities. He was made sick with our sicknesses. He took it. And so we can walk in that liberty. We can walk in that freedom. The Bible says that we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Where darkness represents the curse. Darkness represents everything that represents the devil. But thanks be to God, we are switch cups. We are switch and we have come into the new kingdom. We have come into a new covenant. We have come in to be part of God's family. He lifted us up when we were nothing and nobodies. Nobody cared about us. But thanks be to God. Some way, somehow, one day, you heard the word of God. And when you heard the word of God, you believed that word. And when you believed it, you were born again. Your nature was changed. You changed kingdoms. And by virtue of you being born again, that blessing, you were introduced into it as well. The Jews were introduced into the covenant by circumcision. We as Christians come in into that covenant by being born again. And once we are born again, we learn to walk in that covenant. We learn to walk and practice according to that covenant. This document, this Bible, is sworn in the blood of Jesus. When Jesus Christ was resurrected or raised from the dead, he took his blood. That's another covenant element. He took his blood into the heavenly holies of holies and presented it before God. And God said, that is enough. That satisfied the claims of justice against man. I take that blood. And so every time the Bible says that the blood of Jesus speaks, that blood is speaking for us in the very presence of God. He said, your sin I laid to my child, laid to his child. He bought that penalty. Their sicknesses laid to the child of Jesus. He bought that sickness. And so we walk in the fullness of that covenant. When he sees the blood, that blood reminds him that the redemption has been purchased for us. We have been redeemed from the curse of the law. We are no longer under that curse. And when we come before him, we come before him as well and say, thank God, I was a heathen. I was an unbeliever. I was outside the covenant. But thanks be unto God. I believe your word and our switch comes. Our switch kingdoms. I've come into the very kingdom of God. And I have no right, the devil has no right to dominate me anymore. I'm no longer a slave to him, but I am a slave of Jesus, a servant and a son of Jesus. And the Bible says that if we are sons or if we are children of God, then are we heirs, thanks be to God, joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. When he hung there, he took my place. When he hung on the cross, he took your place. And he bore the curse for you and made that exchange. And when he was resurrected, the Bible said that God gave him a name. that is above every name. Thanks be unto God. When they made that covenant, they exchanged names. They exchanged weapons. You see, Jonathan exchanging sword, exchanged coat. They are saying that from today, every authority that I have, I'm going to use to back you. And thanks be unto God. When Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, he gave us the authority in his name. He gave us his power. He gave us his ability. He inherited the name that is above every other name. And when we became born again, we were identified with that name. And so we have been ushered into the very name, the very name, the very name. And we can go out. He says, in my name, go out. The things that you saw me do, go and do the same thing. Hallelujah. But the key here is, we ought to walk in the freedom that has been purchased for us. That covenant can take a nobody and turn them into somebody. The destitute, the poor, and the people that are outcast, God can turn their situations around. So many testimonies that we hear. People standing on that covenant and saying, no, this is not part of the agreement in the Bible. I'm going to believe what God has said. I am fully persuaded. I heard a testimony of a certain woman. Their mother had an accident and was in the hospital. The doctor said she's going to die. And she had just found out about this covenant. She said, no, I have a covenant with God, and my mother is not going to die. I have a covenant with God, and my mother is not going to die. Everybody in the family says, stop this. You are making too much noise. You are making, it's hopeless. The doctors have said it's hopeless. But no, she kept saying, my mother is not going to die. My mother is not going to die. I have a covenant with God. I have a covenant with God. And the mother was delivered from that situation. Brought back. Delivered. Healed. Brought back. And she actually looked better than when she was involved in the accident. Glory to God. God is still a God of miracles. We have to stand on that covenant and say, God, I will do my part. But also this situation that I may be facing, I don't see that as part of the agreement or the covenant. You do your part, he does his part. Hallelujah. That was Abraham's attitude. Once God said he will be a father of many nations, and he changed his name from Abraham to Abraham, a father of many nations. He was 99 years old. His wife is 90 years old. In the natural, there is no way that he's going to come out. There is no way for them to have a baby. But thanks be to God, once he took on those things, remember the Bible said that God called him a father of many nations. You see, God is a faith God. The Bible says he calls those things that be not as though they were. And so Abraham said, even though by sight and by natural circumstances, there is no way for us to have children, but I'm going to call myself a father of many nations. And so every time he mentioned his name, he was agreeing heartily with God. God said, I'm a father of many nations. I believe him. I'm not going to believe what my senses tell me. My five senses tell me. I'm going to believe the word of God. Sometimes in our lives, we may come against situations that seem impossible. I've been in that position before. Where situations seem impossible, but I say I have a covenant with God. I depend on Almighty God, and he will turn it around. He is not dead. I don't serve a dead God. You don't serve a dead God either. We serve a living God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says that he's ever, ever mindful of that covenant. He's ever looking for opportunities to show his covenant love to you as his child. Ever looking for that opportunity. Ever looking for that opportunity. Ought not this woman be loosed? Or Mephibosheth, you are not supposed to be on this side. That's not where you belong. Come and sit at my table. Let's have fellowship. Let's have covenant love together. I'm going to do this. He said, not for your sake, but for the covenant that I have with Jonathan. In the same way, when he looks at the blood of Jesus, when that blood, when he looks at that blood, he says it was laid to the cross. To Jesus took that, laid that to his charge, and he delivers you from all your enemies. And you as well, you walk with that covenant mindset, saying, God, you wake up every day and say, God, you are my very own Father. What do you want me to do today? Paul said when he was knocked off his horse, when he saw that light, the question that came out of his mind is, Jesus, what do you want me to do? That should be the question on our mouth. God, what do you want me to do? What will you have me to do? That he also sees and looks for opportunities. That what does this person need? What should I do for them? The Bible says that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then he will add things to you. So your part is to seek what he wants. His plan, be part of his plan and his purposes in the earth. His part, as part of the covenant, says that I will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory. I think we got the better part of the deal, but he, of his own accord, initiated it. We were without the covenant. We were outside. That when Adam and Eve sinned, we were separated. The whole race was separated from God. But God said, I'm going to send my very best to redeem man back to himself, to myself. I'm interested in my family, and he got it back. So we give our lives also as a seed to him. That's what I've decided to do. Decide to do that as well. Give your life as a seed to him, that through me and through us, nations will be blessed. Don't just think about yourself and your little corner. How can I be a blessing to nations? That's my thought process. How can I be a blessing to nations? Take this light and this gospel to nations, to nations, and to nations, and nations. Hallelujah. No matter what you may be confronted with, all that you have is now his. And all that he has is now yours. All the resources of heaven are now available to us to use to glorify his name in the earth and to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. This morning you have heard God's word. A word of God has the ability. It took Mephibosheth, that covenant, took Mephibosheth from nothing to being at the king's table. That covenant took you from a land of darkness, Satan's kingdom, into a kingdom of light. This morning, if you are here or if you are listening, and if you don't know the Lord Jesus, you say, Pastor Paul, I've heard the word of God. I want to come into the family of God. I want to be a part of this covenant that you are talking about. Or maybe you were in the family of God, but for some reason, you strayed away. Jesus still has his arms open, reaching out to you and calling. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to your name. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you're here listening, just say, Lord Jesus, I've heard your word. I want to be a part of God's family. I come back to you, O God. I believe with my heart that the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead, and I confess it with my mouth. And thank you, I'm saved. I come back to God in the name of Jesus. And even before we go as well, just pray and make a fresh commitment and a fresh dedication to God to walk in the fullness of this covenant. And talk to him as well as you go into this week.
that you will see his goodness, that you will see his hand
prevail in your life, wherever you may be,
at work or wherever you may go this week.
Lord Jesus, we commit ourselves into your hands, and everybody listening as well. We are your children, O God. And I decree and declare that we walk in the freedom that has been purchased for us. We walk in the fullness of the benefits of that covenant. We walk in your protection this week. We walk, O Lord, in all that has been purchased for us in redemption. And then we as well are careful to obey you, to hear your voice, and to walk according to your word, being fully persuaded that what you have called us, what you have said will come to pass. Every mountain that we may be confronted with, in the mighty name of Jesus, I declare that mountain be gone. Every day, oh God, may your goodness and your mercy follow us every day. Load us daily with your benefits. We thank you and we give you praise. Thank you that we are your children. You are full of eager to pour out your blessings on us. And we are eager as well to obey you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare that this week is blessed. I declare that we see your goodness. And even as we relate to other people, we are beacons of your light. And we are symbols of the blessing. We are symbols of the covenant. And people see us and desire to follow the God that we serve. For you said it will come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house will be established and nations will flow into it. We thank you, Lord, for our time together. Oh, glory be to your name. We worship you, Lord. We give you praise and we give you glory. Thank you that you love us. We love you. We thank you for the new covenant.
We trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. We will love to equip you in daily walk, so sign up for daily devotionals and encouragement at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-5535 or write us at P.O. Box 15883, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80935.